Psalm chapter number 42, and we'll start reading at verse 9, and we will read out loud together down through verse number 11. I will speak to you on this subject, I shall yet praise him. Psalm 42 and verse number 9. If you would please, if you have your copy of God's Word and have found Psalm 42, would you stand with me, please? Thank you. If you're able, if you would stand with me, and we will read verses 9, 10, and 11 from our King James Version Bible. We'll read those out loud together. Psalm 42, verse number 9. Ready? I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Our subject this morning is that phrase in verse number 11, I shall yet praise him. You find that same phrase in verse number 5, I shall yet praise him. Let's say a word of prayer. God, this is a confused and distressed world. And boy, isn't that an understatement. Lord, this is a fallen world and it's sin sick. And Lord, we all have burdens. I pray this morning that you would help me to put aside my burden so I could pick up somebody else's burden. Help me, please God, to lay aside my load and pick up somebody else's load and so fulfill the law of Christ. God, this is a hopeless world, a world of turmoil, a world that's disquieted, depressed, distressed. I pray that the God of heaven would meet with us and give to us in Jesus' name, hope. And we thank you for that. We trust you and praise you for what you're going to do. And Lord, help us to remember that you prevent us with the blessings of goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. The song that, thank you, you can have a seat. It's worse when I do that during weddings. I've done that during weddings. The bride and groom were down here and the whole congregation was still standing. And I just thought that, you know, it's my life's verse from Proverbs, misery loves company. So I thought, I got to stand the whole wedding ceremony. The groomsmen, the bridesmaids, they have to stand the whole time. So can yins. You'll make it through. But fortunately, about partway through the ceremony, I said, you can have a seat. But Psalm chapter 42, the song that the musical group sang this morning, that the singing group sang this morning, is a Bill Gaither song. Mr. Gaither wrote that song in the 60s. He wrote that song when he and his wife were expecting their very first child. And the 60s were a time of turmoil. You see, one thing we fail to understand in our country, and it's our human nature, is that every generation has to fight its own battles. We think the problems that the previous generation solved, that we don't have to solve them, that they don't exist anymore. But I would remind you that each generation has to fight its own battles and solve its own problems. The 60s were a time of turmoil. And by the way, at least the turmoil in this generation isn't as low as the turmoil was in that generation. We've got a lot of division and a lot of strife in our country, but at least we're not burning down our cities like we were in the 60s. You see, growth in grace isn't how high your mountain peaks are, it's how low your valleys aren't. Now, there's a lot of trouble in America today. There's a lot of trouble in the world today, but we've raised our valleys. You don't see going on now what you saw going on, what you read about going on then. Of course, I was a little guy. I was, when all that was going on, I think I was Heaven's age, my daughter Heaven being 4 years old. So Mr. Gaither wrote that song because all of a sudden it dawned on him one of life's big events was about to happen. They were about to become parents. And that just radically changes your life. And he looked at society in the 60s and said, what kind of world are we bringing this kid into? With all the race riots and with the Vietnam War, what kind of world are we bringing this kid into? By the way, we have raised our valleys. We're not as deep as we were back then. And we sure aren't what we were back in the 50s. We've raised our valleys. Well, he sat down and he wrote this song that the singing group sang a little bit ago. This child can face uncertain days because he lives. That was what gave him hope as a parent. He lives. Notice that phrase in verse number 11, hope in God. Now, if you look through that passage, that is a passage written by a person who is in deep distress. You see, the answer to the problems in the world today is that word, hope in God. Hope in God says, like the phrase in verse number 11 continues, I shall yet praise him. That means the idea I take from it at least is hope in God, better days are ahead. I would have come to church this morning just to hear the singing group sing and just to think about what that song means to me. I would have come to church this morning, third of all, just to hear that phrase, better days are ahead. Book of Proverbs says the path of the just, it's like a shining light. It shines more and more until the perfect day. You see, my friend, better days are ahead. I shall yet praise him. For the child of God, better days are ahead. Hope in God this morning. Now notice the phrase, what the problem was that the psalmist have. Verse number 9, mourning. The mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. That's deep sorrow. That's the sorrow and grief over losing a loved one. That's the sorrow and grief over burying somebody that you love that was your entire world. That's the sorrow and grief over losing a child. That's the mourning because you're oppressed, because you're burdened. What's the answer this morning for an oppressed and burdened world? Here's the answer this morning. Hope thou in God. Have hope in God. There are better days ahead. I would say because there is a God, like is described in this passage. Verse number 1 and verse number 2, the God who fulfills what my thirsty soul needs this morning. The God that satisfies the longing of the thirsty soul, he is my hope today. And he is my certainty today of better days ahead. And if you're a child of God this morning, no matter how difficult your present is, my friend, don't get all mired down and, well, how's verse number 11 describe it? Disquieted, depressed, discouraged. Don't get discouraged and bogged down by what you're in. Lift up your eyes and look where you are headed. Hope in God. Well, Tracy and I were married for many years and had no kids. Now, we're not really sure what life was like back then. It's when you adopt four kids all at once, it's kind of like, have you ever gone to the mall and you've seen one of those machines and it's a hurricane machine? And you can pay good money to go stand in like 90 mile an hour wind. I think it's like two or three or maybe as much as $5. You put a Lincoln in there and you get to stand in 90 mile an hour wind. Oh, you don't got to do that. Just go live down in the Gulf Coast somewhere. Sooner or later, it's going to show up. And it's a lot easier that way. That's what it's like adopting four kids. I had come to the point in my life where I really thought we weren't ever going to be parents. But then, one Thursday evening after going through all of the red tape for foster care, Tammy called me on the cell phone, the CYS worker, and said, ready or not, on Monday, you're going to have four kids. We didn't get 9 months. We got, 36 hours? And I was driving down 219. I pulled off the exit and picked up the cell phone, called Tracy, and said, those four kids are coming. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. Okay. Are we ready for that? What do kids need? I don't know. Clothes, yeah. Beds. So we're kind of realizing, guess what? We're headed for turmoil. This is water we've never swam in before. I don't know whatever the right word is there, all of you English people. Swimming. The deep part. We just got on the other side of that rope is what happened. So we said, well, we don't know what to do, so the best thing that we possibly can do is, because we're never going to see each other for the next 20 years, the best thing we could possibly do is go on a date. And so we went to a gospel singing concert. And I'll never forget, at that gospel singing concert, they sang that song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. All of a sudden, I'm realizing, I don't know what to tell these kids. I don't know how to be a dad. What? Four kids are going to come to... What are they going to call me? They're going to call me Dad? They're going to call me Mark? I'll never forget the first time that two sons of mine, who will remain nameless, but just think and you can figure out which two it was, they were misbehaving. They had been there about a week or two, and I'm kind of like, bless God, I'm the father of the home. You will obey my every wish and whim. they took the remote from playing Wii, and I said, give me the remote. They said, no. I said, I don't like that word. They said, we don't care. They began to run around the living room. They began to run around the dining room. Finally, Cody looked at me and I gave it away. Cody looked at me and said, you're not so big. We're going to take you. And my thought is, this is my house. I live here. I'm getting abused in my own home. I didn't sign up for this. I'm supposed to sit there and they bring me my slippers. I just remember Cody saying, get him, Taylor. Get him. We can get him. And they ran at me. I got on the phone. So I didn't know what else to do. I called Tracy. I said, better come home now. Like right now, whatever you're doing, you better come home now. If you ever want to see me alive again, please come home. That's why this song means so much to me. Because maybe you're looking at life this morning and saying, boy, it sure ain't quiet in my home. That's the idea of verse number 11. That's the idea of verse number 5. Disquieted, unhappy, depressed, disappointed. You see, I didn't sign up for that. I've been a dad all of a week, and I'm on the phone with CYS already? Isn't that supposed to be like a few years down the line? Don't you call them when they're like teenagers or something? And really? And I call CYS and I'm like, well, the kids are trying to beat me up and somebody needs to do something.
Really, sir? The kids are trying to beat you up?
Yes, put someone on the phone that's going to help me.
What seems to be the problem?
Maybe that's not the world that you live in. I suspect it is for most of you. Maybe this morning you're not disquieted over your home situation. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's what's not in your wallet.
Huh?
You know that commercial? What's in your wallet? I could tell you. Bunch of receipts. Maybe it's financial problems. Maybe this morning it's physical problems. Here's what I say to you today. When life has disquieted you, make sure, verse number 11, that it's, number one, not in vain. That I'm not worked up over little things. Now, it's obvious in Psalm 42, this wasn't a little thing. And it's obvious in Psalm 42 that David, or the psalmist, managed to pull himself up by his bootstraps. Don't be disquieted in vain. You know what that means. Here's what Tracy would tell you that it means. She didn't write the sermon, but here's Tracy's commentary on this verse. Mark, you are making mountains out of, can you fill in the blank? Molehills, right. Because you do it and so do I. What did he mean by that? Why did he say that? Really, what did he mean by that and why did he say that? Boy, that was rude. Did he mean it that way or did he mean it this way? What did he... Making mountains out of... It goes faster if you participate, honestly. If you don't, all I know to do is to just go back to about the choir special and start over again. Don't be disquieted in vain. Next, number two, talk yourself out of it. Why is it that you can pray to God and talk to God, and that's perfectly all right, but if you say, God talks to me, you're goofy. If you walk down the street and you see somebody with their head bowed or you're in a restaurant and you see somebody with their head bowed, you think, well, that's nice, they're talking to God. They're praying for their food. But you say, you have somebody say to you, you know, God spoke to me about something. Sometimes people are kind of like, what? God talks to you? Well, the only thing that I can say to you is, God does talk to me, and he talks to me from the pages of that book. But the other thing I would say to you from that passage is, it seems like David is talking to himself. He is talking himself out of his disquietness, and you can do that. Why are you cast down? Ask yourself that this morning. If you are discouraged and if your soul is depressed and if you are disappointed in life and if you are at your lowest place, ask yourself this question this morning, why? Maybe this morning you'd say, here's why. God, my soul is just disquieted this morning. Is that you? Here's what you do. Mark, I'm going to have a talk with you. Oh, hush up. You preach too much anyhow. No, seriously, sit up and listen, man. Roy, sit up and listen. I'm going to have a talk with you. I do what my kids do. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. No, seriously, I'm going to have a talk with you. Why are you disquieted? Why are you upset? Why are you unhappy? Why are you depressed? Why are you discouraged? Really, what's up? Well, I'm going to give you a list of reasons. No. Hope in God. Hope in God. There are, hey, sir, there are better days ahead. But you don't understand. Do you know how disquieted my home is? Do you know how disquieted my finances are? Do you know how disquieted and difficult? Can I tell you all the... Can you see? Well, yeah. Can you hear? Well, yeah. I'm talking to you. I see you. Don't you think that there are people that can't see and can't hear? Hey, when things are difficult, think about people that have it much worse. And don't be disquieted in vain. And talk yourself and think yourself out of that unhappiness. Let me ask you something, Mark. Might as well go ahead. Suppose the sermon isn't over till you get done with the stupid question, so go ahead. I'm all ears. Remember, they work. So thankful. You going to heaven when you die? Yeah. Is there a God? Yeah. Does that God love you? Yeah. Doesn't that give you hope? Hope in God. There are better days ahead today. You can face uncertain days because He lives. Christ today is the living hope of His people. The Bible this morning is the living book that is words of hope. There is a God of heaven. That God in heaven sits on the throne today. Heaven still has golden streets. Christ still has an empty tomb. God still has blessings to pour out. That means this morning, for the discouraged, disappointed, depressed soul, there are better days ahead for the child of God. Let me ask you something, Mark. I thought it was one question. What's up with that? What is this, Jeopardy or something? You married? See that? See that? That's a ring. Yeah, I'm married. You remember back in March of 1996, that pastor school? What's up with that, man? I don't need no history lessons about pastor school. I've been to plenty of them. I have no idea what you're talking about, sir. Get on with your question. Remember that pastor school when it was all about marriage? And you, you were like the only single guy there. And they did all that marriage stuff, and all you kept thinking was, marriage. If I met somebody, I'd marry him, but God hasn't given me a wife, so remember that? It kind of jogs my memory a little bit. You know, but I'm not sure I remember a bunch of them pastor schools. You remember coming back from pastor school. You remember coming back and saying, well, God, if I would just meet somebody, I would get married. But God, it really isn't fair because you haven't brought me anybody. So, God, if I met somebody, I would get married. You remember that lady calling you on the phone and saying, remember that lady calling you on the phone and saying, I'm schizophrenic and so am I. Remember that lady calling you on the phone and saying, put it in God's hands? She just call you up out of the clear blue, right? Say, put it in God's hands. She just call you up and encourage you and say, put it in God's hands. Huh? What happened a few months after that? That's a long time ago, sir. That's a real long time ago. What do you think I am? Like some kind of memory card or something? I don't remember what happened so many years and years ago. You do too, you dingbat. It wasn't a few months later that you met your wife. Huh? Remember what it's like when you weren't married? Can I tell you something this morning? Talk yourself, relive the victories, and talk yourself out of it. If you made trouble out of your molehills, you can make grace and happiness out of your molehills. David, the psalmist, looks at that, looks at his soul, and he says, hey, soul, why are you disquieted? Why are you unhappy? Why are you miserable? Why are you despondent? Isn't there a God? And the psalmist has to answer, there is a God, and since there is a God, there are better days ahead. Don't let the devil tell you that your best days are behind you. They're not. They're not, they're not, they're not. For the child of God, the best days are ahead. Don't let the devil tell you today that the best days of our country or the best days of our church are behind you or the best days of our family, they're behind you. No, 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 no. Hope in God. I think I got it. Quit yelling at me. A couple Sunday nights ago, Heaven was, my beloved Heaven Lynn was in the evening service, and I can't remember what I was preaching on, some great theological treatise. And she leaned over to Tracy, and she said to Tracy, Mom, tell him quit yelling at me. He keep yelling at me through this whole time. Tell him quit yelling at me. Can I tell you something this morning? You can be lifted out of your discouragement and your despair, your despondency, by those three words, hope in God. There are better days ahead. There are better days ahead for your family and for mine too. There are better days ahead. Everybody goes through rocky times. Everybody goes through times where, verse number 9, you feel God's forgotten you. Everybody goes through those times. Everybody goes through those times where you pray and there's nothing from heaven. Here's what you do. You say, remember you're saved? Yeah, I am. You have hope then, don't you? I guess I do. Not I guess so. I know I do. Your sins forgiven? Yeah. My sins are forgiven. You have hope then, don't you? Yeah, yes, I do. I've got hope. Better days are ahead. And better days are ahead. And brighter days are ahead. And happier days are ahead. And blessed days are ahead. And wonderful things are ahead. You know why that is? I'm a child of God this morning. The one that put the sun up there in the sky, he my father. The one that keeps all the universes operating, he's my father. The one that holds the king's heart in his hand, he is my father. Hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him. Better days are ahead. I helped a little church down in Bell Vernon, Pennsylvania. First Baptist Church in Bell Vernon, Pennsylvania. They were a struggling church, had been through some difficulties, and their pastor had left. The congregation had dwindled. Tracy and I used to go down there and help them some during the week. I couldn't tell you how many times that I stood up and said to them, better days are ahead for your church. Better days are ahead for your church. Better days are ahead for your church. Would you please realize that this morning? Hope in God. I shall yet praise him. Better days are ahead. There'd be a handful of us there in a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'd say, better days are ahead. But you know what they did? They called another pastor. He was a fine man. Wasn't a little while after that, they had a big day, a special day at their church. Over 100 people. Can I tell you something, my friend? God's still in business. Better days ahead. The gospel still saves. Better days ahead. The tomb is still empty. Better days ahead. Christ is still risen. Better days ahead. I have hope this morning. Better days are ahead. But not if you're not saved. Not if you're not born again. If you're not born again, your better days are now. And what's ahead? Is awful. See, if you've never been born again, the most awful events in human history await you. If you've never been born again, the most dreadful and terrible events described in Scripture, the most awful events prophesied in Scripture, they await the soul that is outside the redemption in Christ. Bible says the books are open. The dead stand before God. The dead are judged. The book of life is open. And whosoever name's not in that book of life, they don't have better days ahead. They don't have the hope of God. They have none of that. Because they are taken and they are cast into that bottomless pit. But here's what I'd say this morning. That's not my fate. That's not the fate for any believer in Christ. Better days are ahead. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for that song that the choir sang this morning. Thanks to God for it. Thank you, God, for the hope I have, the hope that my marriage has, the hope that my kids have, the hope that our church has, the hope that the whole world has. The tomb is still empty. Christ is still risen. Christ is still King. I shall yet praise him. Better days are ahead. Better days are ahead physically. Better days are ahead financially. Gonna walk down streets of gold. Better days are ahead. Not gonna ever have to wonder, is God forgotten all about me? Because I'm gonna see God. Better days are ahead. I shall yet praise him. God, for the person here who is sunk in depression, sunk in despondency, or who is defeated, I pray they take that phrase, hope in God, I shall yet praise him. I pray they'd go home with that bright in their heart and soul. And I ask it for thy name's sake, for the sake of the name of Jesus. Now our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Please listen. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, that's something you must do. Either that or continue on your way toward judgment. Who could raise their hand as a testimony? I know what it means to be saved. I know I've received Christ. I can raise my hand as a testimony. Yep, I've done that. Can you raise your hand as a testimony? Thanks, you can put your hand down. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there somebody this morning that would say, sir, I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven, if I'd go to hell, but I am concerned about that. You can know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have it. Is there somebody this morning that would say, sir, I don't know if I'm going to live forever with God, but I am concerned about that. I do have some doubts about that. Would you pray for me about that? Anybody like that this morning? Would you raise your hand? We'll pray for you this morning. Next question is this. Is there somebody that would can raise their hand as a testimony that would say, sir, I have been saved, and I also have followed the Lord in beautiful believer's baptism. I have followed the Lord and submitted to beautiful believer's baptism. I can raise my hand and say, yep, I've done that. Yeah, I see your hands. I see your hands all over the place. Is there some, thank you, you can put them down. Is there somebody that would say, sir, I'm saved, but I've not got baptized yet. Anybody like that this morning, if you'd raise your hand, we'll pray with you. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Father in heaven, I pray for this one who raised their hand. I pray they would follow the Lord in beautiful believer's baptism, identify with the Lord Jesus in his death, burial, sufferings, and resurrection. Final question is this. Your family's not hopeless. No, it isn't. Your finances, your health, it's not hopeless. There is a God. Your kids, it's not hopeless in your kids' lives. God has a plan. God's still at work. He's not on vacation. He didn't punch the time clock and say, I'll be back on Monday morning at 8 o'clock. No. Hope in God. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Wait till you see what God does. The best is yet to come. Hope in God. Now, if God has spoken to your heart this morning in the message, in the music, maybe this morning God has spoken to your heart and you look at your life and you say, it seems hopeless. I'm never going to be happily married. It seems hopeless. All we're going to do is fight. It seems hopeless. All I'm going to do is get evicted and evicted and evicted, and I'm never going to have a stable home. And no, enough of that. Enough. Hush up with that kind of talk. You're getting disquieted and stirring up your little teacup. And what you need to do is hope in God. Is there a God, and can he help you? Well, yes, and well, yes. So let us stand together. The music will play, and if God so puts it upon your heart, you step from your seat and you come and you kneel. If you raised your hand and you said, I'm saved, but I'm not baptized, I invite you to step from your seat, to come to the front. Some lady, some man will take the Bible, they'll talk to you and explain to you why you should follow Jesus in beautiful believer's baptism. Is your life this morning disquieted? Talk yourself out of it. Hope yourself out of it. Hope in God for the disquieted soul.